Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Jonas Elrod, who is the producer of the film Wake Up, which is a documentary about his own spiritual awakening and the kind of bizarre and abnormal effects it had on what he thought was going to be his life, and his insights into what it means to have your perceptual reality shift and what it means for others who may be going through the same thing. Thanks, Jonas, for joining us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So you're calling in from Brooklyn, and you used to, well, you grew up in Douglasville, Georgia, is that right?
That is correct. I grew up in a small town in Douglasville. I guess you could say as a God-fearing Christian, and in time I moved to New York to study and get in the film.
When I was looking at your film, it came to mind, one of my patients is has woken up similar to what you have done, and he has followed a path of prophecy, and he took me out to Douglasville to have a baptism, which was very interesting. So I've actually, the last time I was out in Douglasville, I was having a baptism, which he felt that I needed for spiritual protection at the time, and I think he was right. I think that that did help, but I actually got to experience some of the more southern religious things that I was raised as a Methodist, so I really had never experienced the kind of church that you grew up in. But it was it might have been very similar to the one that you showed in the film. But it was certainly a very interesting experience for me. As you know, a lot of people wake up gradually. That was my experience. But I found many of the men that I have helped in their spiritual awakening have woken up suddenly. And the sudden awakening is a lot more, it appears to be a lot more traumatic. And to date, I've had like five of the men, including one who was a fighter pilot and an infectious disease doctor, who helped create was a research physician who helped create the cures for AIDS. He woke up very, very suddenly as well. So it's interesting. Why do you think men wake up suddenly and women take months to do so?
I have no idea. I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying. Having a spontaneous awakening is definitely a lot more traumatic because you just kind of been on the water face first. And then there's other people, like you were saying, that gradually come open to it. And there's some people that have just had it their entire lives, so it's not a big deal. So they get around
they
the
were
corner
born with
when,
it. Yeah.
When the third grade, they realize their friends don't have the same access to information they do. So I've never really understood why that's the case. But as you were saying, I definitely come across more and more people that are having these experiences spontaneously, seemingly. And I think wake up's been a nice thing for them, so they kind of realize that they're not the only one going through it, or it's a more relatable, common thing than they would ever expect.
Yeah, I had a patient. Well, it wasn't a patient; it was just someone who called me. I'm known for doing what's called activations, which help people wake up, actually. And he was a student at Georgia Tech, I think, or Georgia State. And I had him come in after hours, and I just do these. I mean, when I'm guided to, I just do them for free. And nothing really happened that then, but the next day he was coming down the escalator at Phipps Plaza and suddenly woke up on the escalator. So he calls me in a panic, and he says, "Can I just come talk to you?" I said, "Sure, come on in." But let's talk a little bit about your story. Let's talk about your background before all of this happened, because I think that was interesting to me, that you had kind of no clue that this was coming on. You weren't seeking it. You weren't really even interested in it.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely very reluctant. I mean, I come from a, like I said, kind of a God-fearing Southern Baptist background. And I kind of was looking into this for years to figure out the big questions. And then I just got really satisfied with the answers I was receiving. Fear and separations that the church has taught that I was involved in just didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. Or the idea of a jealous, angry, insecure God just seemed preposterous to me. And after I gave that up, about 6 years later is when this kind of fell into my lap, so to speak. It was definitely very, very abrupt.
What were the circumstances around it?
Well, I was, some people would argue the coincidence, but I mean, I was a documentary filmmaker before this happened, and so I was in San Francisco finishing up my first doc, and it opened up the night before the big event I was filming. And, we go back to the scene where that opened up and wake up, and really it just happened where I was sitting in the room, and the room got really cold, and then a light appeared in the corner of the room, like something was opening up, and then spirits, for about 4, 5, 6 hours, kept coming in the room, showing me things. And that was the initial openings, I guess, in these other worlds.
So, I've seen a lot of films, because I've been doing this radio show for about over 15 years, so weekly I interview people. And many times I love to interview producers and documentary. I just think the visual is so important in what we're explaining here. And I've really never seen anybody explain it like you explained it or showed it. Actually, the visual part of it in your film. I'm fascinated by that, that you are able to... You still there? Hello? So we're waiting for Jonas to get back on. We dropped out. And we'll see if we can do that.
We got him back?
Hello?
Hey, I'm back.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Technical
problem? Not quite sure what happened.
That's okay. What I was saying is I've never seen in the films quite the visual effects that you show in your film. But then probably we really haven't had anybody who makes documentaries have this experience and shared it like you're sharing it. So that
might
be
why. I had mixed feelings on trying to show a representation of what this stuff looks like, because I'm not big into the whole dry eyes, cue up the funny unsolved mystery music, but also from people that found what I was doing, put pressures like, well, if you're going to talk about this stuff for, at least 30, 45 minutes or 2 hours in a film, you're going to have to give people somewhat of a clue. And with Wake Up, how this started was on the initial night when the stuff opened up, the spirits, I suppose, expressed to me to expose it, and that's why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it wasn't about the supernatural or whatever paranormal events. These events got me on a path, and they were the genesis for getting on, I guess, quote-unquote, a spiritual path, but... To me, the experiences aren't really the big thing anymore.
Yeah, I think though your message is though if these experiences start to happen to you, and I can tell you as I'm a plastic surgeon here in Atlanta, and we have an integrative medical practice, so we have a lot of people coming to our practice that communicate to us that they are having these experiences, especially in the last 3 or 4 years. They're seeing angels. They're seeing what they think may be demons. They're seeing things that they've never seen before. They don't think they're crazy. I mean, they really don't, because I think they're grounded enough to know that they're not going psychiatric. But they express to myself and other doctors in the practice that this is happening because, of course, it's part of their health and part of their your perceptual reality is very much part of your health and or lack of health. So I think it's more common.
I think it's common too. you know, and I also had slight reservations about, you know, angels and demons, but that was my perception of what I saw. Because, you know, I read someone in a review, like, well, this is a big Christian thing. And I was like, how could you ever gather that in a million years? I mean, we kind of go around everything, all religions, you know, quantum physicists, shaman, healers, indigenous cultures, kind of showing that all this is pointing to the same thing. And this other whatever thing is indeed real due to experiences I have and many, many other people on the planet.
Well, after your awakening, you know, you went through some difficulties with accepting it. You went through some difficulties with, you know, your relationship with your girlfriend and accepting it. You showed your family, and they were actually very accepting, which was interesting. Shows that they, you know, the unconditional love that exists in your family, which is you're fortunate to have. But, you know, what did you have guidance, specific guidance on where to go to demonstrate the spiritual path that the film demonstrates?
Well, I think that Spirit probably laid all this out for me, and then you kind of get to watch and wake up me stumble around trying to figure things out, which, you know, I've had my my grandmother said, wow, you and Mara are amazing actors. I was like, you know, she doesn't really understand documentaries.
That you're not this acting.
This isn't a movie that we scripted. This was kind of my life. And
I don't think you can make this up.
No, there's absolutely not. I mean, there's stuff that still is challenging for me to watch and embarrassing, but I also knew that there's a reason why the warts and all needed to come out. Because oftentimes people don't wake up and they're not skipping down the street singing Mary Poppins songs. I mean, it's definitely when your reality changes or your whole belief system or paradigm shatters, I mean, there's, you know, there's some growth pains that are associated with that. And my girlfriend, Mara, at the time, was skeptical, and she has every right to be. And she, you know, she's kind of said one of the smarter comments I've heard around this. She's like, look, if you were somebody in India wearing a toga or whatever talking about this, this would be a lot easier to accept for whatever reason that is. But, you know, you're a white guy from small redneck town here in the suburbs.
Right.
So that's the part that's not always the most common for people to hear about.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
Like I said, it seems like in your line of work and definitely through our travels, we've met many, many people that are having these experiences. One, they don't really have a support system to talk about it because their spouse will think they're crazy or their parents or kids or, you know, social structure. And so a lot of people isolate when it comes to this stuff. For me at this point, I mean, it's very exciting stuff. And it's really put me on the place I need to be. So I'm definitely look at it as a blessing, and I feel incredibly grateful.
Yeah, I had a spiritual message in 1990. I had just been here. I'd gotten out of the military. I was a major, paid back my time for them putting me through medical school, came to Georgia. I was down in Riverdale, which I'm sure you know where that is. Riverdale is quite, you know, it's a different place than Dunwoody, which is where I am now, okay? Different energy. You probably understand that, being from Georgia. In Riverdale, I was there 2 years, and I got the message to quit my job, and I was making a lot of money at the time, so my partner was just, like, shocked. He was my boss, too. He was just shocked that I would get that message. And I spent 5 months just doing spiritual work. But at the time, I underwent some pretty rapid shifts in my perceptual awareness that I was trying to communicate to my mother and father. My father was accepting, but my mother was threatened by it. At one point, she said I was involved with Jim Jones, you know, that kind of thing. She thought it was
drinking the Kool-Aid?
Yeah, drinking the Kool-Aid. And really all it was is there were seven clairvoyants that met twice a week for spiritual work, group meditation, and we weren't doing anything like drinking Kool-Aid or even doing anything that weird. But when you meditate with a group, that was what I was guided to do. You weren't. I mean, that's why it's easier to do this sort of work with a group because you have the group to support you. And so, you know, we woke up over a course of 5 months, you know. I mean, not that I didn't have gifts before. I did. I always had the gift of prophecy and the gift of healing. But, you know, you go through some pretty rapid shifts. And then it was okay. I mean, I knew that it was fine. I can't even imagine what it would be like, though, to go through it without the support of that group. So what I'm saying is, I can appreciate your film.
Well,
especially knowing your background in Douglasville, because I also know that part of Georgia.
Well, you brought up a lot of good points. Mara was incredibly supportive, absolutely. She gave space and room for me to explore this and to make this film, and even though she was skeptical, but if you watch Wake Up, you'll see that Mara has her own reckoning, which is pretty amazing, where she comes to greater understanding. And there's a word you use early, like threatened. A lot of people feel threatened. So, and in the film, it looks like my parents are incredibly supportive. My mother, I think this has helped shift her and help open her up, whereas my father just threatened him. And so you can even see in the guise of the film, the only context he could put it in, well, this must be some from Jesus Christ, and you must be some chosen person for Jesus.
Right.
Which, that's a dangerous thing to even contemplate, because I don't believe in the specialness or any of that. I believe that everyone has these gifts. Now, whether people acknowledge them or use them or aware, that doesn't matter. Everyone's hardwired with some kind of connection to source and some sort of gift out of that. So, and that's kind of what I went through in the beginning with, I guess you call it spiritual immaturity, where I would feel, honestly, somewhat special 7 years ago or like a victim.
Right.
When you start doing internal work and start really looking at things, you realize it's neither. And that, to me, is the real gift around all this.
Well, you visited some very interesting people in order to find out answers. Would you like to talk a little bit about where you were guided to go for answers? Because it wasn't, there were some within the Christian context, of course, but you also reached out in other directions.
Yeah, me and my co-director, Chloe Crespi, and my producer, Steve Utinski, just set up a path. We'd have a map, and if it felt right, we went for it. And we did the obvious things at the beginning. So when some guy comes out and says he's seeing spirits and hearing voices and having visions, well, the obvious thing any responsible person would and should do is, go get your brain checked out. So up and down physical examination, had an MRI, had a psychological evaluation, and when those things came back clean, as I strongly suspected they would, I went back to my roots. Now, the Christian church is one of the first stops I made, and I think my intent was to go pick a little bit of a fight, because I had a lot of anger that what I had been taught is not what I'm experiencing.
Right.
Reverend Ford is who we met with, and he totally blew my mind, because he was incredibly open, as you'll see in Wake Up. And he was.
You're right.
He wasn't about separation or fear. He was about, hey, it's all pointing to the same thing. So, my intent was this, but, I got someone that was
he blindsided you with his unconditional love.
Well, I could have called the film Blindside. That probably would have worked, too, but Sandra Bullock... I had some issues with that. And then we just kept digging deeper and deeper. We went to the science, we'll call them physicists. People have been studying this for years, top-notch scientists. And we went on the other side, which is more mystical, with healers, shaman, religious scholars, spiritual leaders. I don't even know what spiritual leader means at this point, but, people have really had experiences, soared their ego stuff out, and really made themselves part of a service.
And you did, Sufi masters and Buddhist monks and, just from different disciplines. And really, they were all saying the same thing.
Well, that's what we found so beautiful about it. Everyone was saying pretty much the same thing, regardless of what side of the field you line up on. Mm-hmm. Science was saying things very similar to what a mystic would say, very similar to what a Sufi would say, very similar, around and around. So it became... more and more clear, and as opposed to, hey, I'm going to go pick a fight because these experiences are different. No, everyone was kind of saying a very similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my take on the whole thing is, my truth around this is everyone has access and has this information within them.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I needed to talk to a bunch of different people to help me shift to get to that point, because in the end, it wasn't talking to someone else that got me to a point of you know, realization. It was quiet in the mind, going to a deep meditative state, and that's where my big breakthrough came in the film. But, you know, watching some guy meditate for 2 hours in his living room in Brooklyn is not really the most entertaining film I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the thing that is also interesting is that you have you show the typical, if that's a word, archetypical struggle that the ego has with the higher self or the soul during this process, which is often true in the beginning, even for people who are opening up more slowly. In other words, the personality or the ego doesn't necessarily want to go down a path because it's not the path they had projected for themselves or their family, which had projected for them that they bought into. And so there's always that dark night of the soul where the ego and personality, well, it's probably the same thing, ego personality, gets used to the idea that it may not be going in the direction it thought it was going to go in. And their sense of loss and sense of betrayal and sense of anger, you know, the emotions that came up that you showed in the film.
Yeah, I think I had not just one dark night with it, but it's
a couple of dark years.
I'd give it maybe 18 solid months, but things started shifting, and I think as soon as I realized I wasn't driving the car, I was lucky to be in the car riding. It made things a lot easier.
Yeah,
and those experiences and those lessons, you know, I still use to this day, which has been another tremendous gift. So when I say that, I mean, that's really where I'm at with it. I mean, these experiences are interesting and they're very wild, and some of them can be really beautiful or intense, but I guess it's more the boring stuff that definitely resonates with me the most or has the most juice, and that's things that we talk about with interconnectedness or, you know, cleaning up your own, you know, lack of a better word, cleaning up your own bullshit. I was naive with the fact that it's like, well, religion's not working. I see a lot of really wacky things that are off. The spiritual community is probably just amazing. Everything's probably just perfect. Everyone probably gets the same thing. Well, communities are communities, and these issues, you know, aren't selective. And so what I'm hoping with Wake Up is to maybe point to, you know, a path, and also point to it's really about doing your own internal work to clean up. Because we all are interconnected, and what you do for you is going to affect me regardless if we never meet in this life. But that's not always as fun as hearing about ghost stories or, you know, wild phenomena like that.
So, I agree. I think a lot of people who are on the path before they really should be on the path go around and try to, you know, seek multiple gurus or multiple disciplines that they think has the answer, where really the answer is within you, and you just have to be patient, because we in the spiritual disciplines that I studied in, there was a saying, you can't open a rose with a hammer. And I think that's a good overall comment on spiritual awakening. Sometimes it's very sudden when it's not wanted. Sometimes it doesn't come for 10 years of searching, and all you're doing is, you know, is trying to awaken. So you can't force it, and you can't avoid it or suppress it once it starts, as you demonstrate in your film Wake Up, because certainly, at least in the beginning there, you weren't real interested in going down that path. So
no, I was very reluctant and very resistant.
Right.
And
a lot of that was because of your background. You had projected a different future for yourself.
I suppose part of it's that, but I just, I've had, you know, we do a lot of streams around the country, and we do a, you know, like an hour-long Q&A at the end, and a lot of people are curious about how can they access this information or have these experiences. For me, you know, if it went away tomorrow, I would be absolutely fine and thrilled with it. But I guess it's whatever it takes to get you there. For me, I guess just having these kind of William Blake sounding experiences to get me there, but it also could have happened with getting fired from a job or getting in a car crash or, you know, being a witness.
Well, that's the more common way, is that you, Carolyn May says that with, you know, before you take this vertical journey, you know, before you're kind of horizontal in the third dimension, but before you go vertically, you have to either think you're losing everything or lose everything. And back in the 90s, that was probably true for the majority of people who were waking up. Countless people I know, you know, went bankrupt, lost their primary relationships, lost their job, and then because they only had themselves in their apartments or their houses, they did the spiritual work, you know, kind of because that was what was left. But certainly now, I don't think it's so hard to wake up. I don't think you have to really be in a position where you quite get that far down in the hole. I think it's going to be easier and easier for people to do it because of the, you know, the mass effect that's happening. It's in the consciousness more than it was back then.
Absolutely, and there is a bit of a critical mass element building. And you said something I really like that, and I'm definitely follow that. Is you know, it's not about going out and seeking 20 gurus or reading 300 books. And that's the what I feel like is a very empowering message in Wake Up. It's not about looking outside. Now we all do it. I do it, so I'm not going to like
about
that.
Yeah.
I mean. You watch me do that.
Yeah. I mean, why be on the planet if you can't go out and play, you know?
Right, but there is a danger about people giving their power away, and
right.
When people start to remember who they really are, then you'll realize that it's already in you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for Wake Up, every syllable that was said to me from all these teachers and scientists or whatnot helped me get to a place where I could start to access that information for myself. And I feel clear that that was part of what needed to happen. But, you know, it's not about following someone or having another middleman. I mean, that's something that religion has already kind of had a lock on.
Right.
And to me,
right.
That, like I said, that's very exciting.
Yeah, and that realization may also be what threatens the more institutionalized religions. Because if you don't need to do that, then their existence might be threatened if this happened, you know, in a large number of people. They might not have a congregation. Or hopefully their congregation would shift into something different, you know, into more of a supportive group thing rather than a fear-based.
And I'm optimistic that'll happen. And when I say religion, I'm only using it from the context of my past. And I didn't study as a Buddhist. I studied as a fundamental Christian that had a lot of fear thrown at me.
Right.
So, you know, Joan Halifax, Roshi that we met at the monastery, I mean, she was by far one of my favorite people. I mean, she's obviously involved in organized religion. I feel the same way about Llewellyn Von Lee, who's a Sufi mystic who really helped me shift. So, that word isn't meaning exactly what it's saying. It's just anything that teaches fear and separation is what I'm still having an issue with. But I think more and more people have these experiences. They'll start to see a bigger picture where there's not a fear element based around it. And hopefully things will turn out how you're saying, where it becomes more of a supportive thing as opposed to, I'm driving the car, you guys need to ride in the car with me.
Yeah, well, you know, I think humans are very adaptable, and if institutions are in place, what I'm hopeful about, I mean, I'm talking about the institution of government, the institution of law, the institution of healthcare, that we can take the existing institutions and kind of work with them to shift them into something more helpful and that work better, that aren't so. Because remember, it's as above, so below in the teachings, so as we shift out of our ego, you know, driven personalities, which are only looking at short-term gains and are based on profit and, you know, power, as we shift out of that into this more, you know, higher consciousness being where we're more guided. In other words, we don't just do what is going to make us the most money. We do what we're actually guided to do. I think the institutions are going to start to work. I think, you know, I think the whole thing will start to work. And I think that that's what, you know, that's how we get to, you know, the 1,000 years of peace on earth that's predicted in Revelations, is that we become more peaceful, you know, and less competitive.
That would be great. I'm gonna watch out for that.
You're gonna watch out for that. That's super. So, what advice do you have for people who are having the phenomena that you had, or something like them, the shift in perceptual reality, and being able to see beyond what we would normally see with our physical eyes and hear beyond what we would normally hear with our physical ears, especially when that information turns out to be correct, which is really always surprising to me. I was driving in one day, and Spirit said, someone's going to steal the picture out of the patient bathroom. And I go, no, they aren't. And then later that day, they did. So anyway, this information is very interesting sometimes. So what advice do you have for those people?
I mean, that's a tricky one, to be really honest, because not to open up too many cans of worms. I mean, there are people that do have mental disorders to a certain degree. And so I don't rule that out. I think that, you know, I got to be honest, I don't know what I think. I know that people can have mental disabilities and really able to tap into this information for whatever reason. So when these things do come upon, I would suggest doing, flipping over all the rocks. And one, that would be able to get a psychological evaluation, MRI, you know, check yourself out. And when that doesn't come up, I mean, luckily we're in the big technological age where there's a lot of great information online. And luckily, and from what I've been seeing, there's a lot of local groups of people that say this, have these own experiences, and that's really to try to find a group and don't do this on your own.
I'm a big fan of group meditation. I think that was real helpful for me.
I'm sure, I think that's a real positive and great thing. I mean, you got to consider meditation, although 40 years ago was kind of considered, let's make it 50, heathen. Very, very odd, very, very fringe, you know, when Ram Dass brought this over and various others. People had no idea what to think, and now, you know, my girlfriend, who works in advertising, they have meditation sessions at work. So you really see how much things have shifted and changed, where, as Dean Radin would say, that was at one point outside the bubble and taboo. Now that's very, very common. And I think what maybe the work you're doing, the work we're trying to do, is just to bring this to the forefront, that things discussed and wake up, hopefully in the next 10, 20, 30 years, won't be a taboo. It'll be very common.
Right.
I think that's
right.
The way we're all going to get there. So the short answer would be, you know, to really look for support locally and do all the, you know, I guess the Dr. House special, when you definitely check out everything to make sure that can't be one of the reasons. Like you said,
especially if there's a lot of fear around it.
There can be tremendous fear around it.
Right.
When your idea of reality starts to shift, especially overnight, there's a lot of fear that comes up. And, you know, basically all of us are afraid of the unknown as it is. And as you know, when this stuff comes up, kind of anything is possible at any given second. So it is a great tool when these things open to start working on your own personal fears, which I think is good.
Well, that's what I had to do. I had this little thing that I did in meditation that was very effective. I just had Spirit bring up whatever fear that was next as a flashcard. And then I looked at it, I mean, really looked at it and thought about all the ramifications. And then finally I accepted it as if that was the path, then I accepted it because I knew there'd be lessons in it. So I just accepted it. And then the next flashcard would come up. And so I worked in meditation for a long time, but it was a rapid way to get rid of the fears. Because as you know, you don't actually have to go through something physically in order to go through it. You can actually go through it mentally just as well. You know, the athletes prove that. The Olympic athletes that practice in their minds, that's just as effective, sometimes more effective than actually physically doing it. Or, of course, they physically do it as well. So your mind doesn't know the difference between doing it in the mind and doing it in the physical world. So that was a great way to get through the fears. I also wanted to mention that I have a video production company myself, and we were doing a videotaping of one of the Omega things here, Unconscious Aging, and I actually met Ram Dass, and we did an hour-long video on him, and that was right before he had his stroke, and Ram Dass was, we were sitting at the kitchen table and talking, and Ram Dass was telling, he had a preconceived notion about plastic surgeons. And he looked at me and says, I don't understand how plastic surgeons could know anything about spirituality. And I said, well, you know, I'm an ER doctor, and I go and I take care of patients with massive hand injuries, you know, that are threatening their livelihood, or facial injuries, that, you know, or burns, or really bad, bad trauma. I said, it's all about spirituality. And he took my hand and he said, oh, my God, I had no idea. You know, he's just thinking about cosmetic surgery. He has no idea how much spirituality actually comes into plastic surgery.
Huh. So. Wow. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, it was. It was very interesting to see. Because, you know, our perceptual conceptions are filters, okay? And I think you probably heard this from some of the teachers you've gone to, that whatever filters we have about the world, like if you're racially prejudiced or if you believe that all doctors are bad, or if you believe that all women are stupid, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. Your entire world is colored by your filters. And so in my experience, you have to get rid of those filters, you know, one thing at a time. And I know Ram Dass knew that, because that's what hit him. He realized that he had a filter about plastic surgeons that was incorrect. And,
right.
You know, he was, I mean, it was like an aha moment for him. Oh, my God, you know, here's another kernel that I need to pop. That's what he used to say. There was a kernel I needed to pop. Anytime you feel resistance or a negative emotion rising in you, there's something that you don't understand about what you're looking at. And if you read Be Here Now and his other works, you realize that he spent hours and hours and hours doing this, you know, trying to clear away all the filters. And
That's amazing.
I was one of his filters he had to clear.
That's amazing. That's the hard part. So when you talk about working through your own fear and him doing that,
yeah,
that's really, in my opinion, the whole point of all of this.
Yeah, it is,
point,
isn't it?
You know?
Yeah. So what's next?
That's really beautiful there.
So what's next? Are you working on another film?
I am, slowly but surely. I'm working on a feature this time. I'm kind of a little burnt out of the documentary. They just, and we get a lot of requests about making a Wake Up sequel, but I don't imagine that'll be any time soon.
Okay.
But, yeah, you know, I'm still a regular guy, you know, working film and working on bringing a lot of this information I learned in Wake Up and my own personal dealings into another film. Because I believe that, you know, however this information comes, that, you know, when the spirit soul knows, it knows. And if it comes to something as ridiculous as a commercial or a conversation in a cab or whatever, it doesn't always have to be this grand thing. So, yeah, that's what's next for me.
Great. Well, would you like to give the contact information for your website? I know it's Wake Up the Film, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, if you would like to stream the film or purchase the film, we're at wakeupthefilm.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also on tour all up and down the West Coast later this month, and have a lot of other dates coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So please feel free to give us a call if you want us to screen your town. We'd love to come, and we do the Q&A sessions at the end, which is really nice because it's kind of a big conversation. A lot of answers coming through. So, yeah, please be on the lookout.
We do, since 1996, we've done a monthly noetic science meeting at our office. Our office is actually in Dunwoody, right outside the loop off of Shanley Dunwoody. It's not too far, you know, from Douglasville if you drive fast. But anyway, so if you're ever in the area, or you know you're going to be in the area, noetic science is the third Thursday of every month other than December. And we'd love to feature you. If you would
like to. Oh, that sounds
like
great. Thank you very much.
We can, I mean, I know my group, you know, there's different people that come for different things, but I know that a lot of people would be very, very interested. I showed Quantum Awakening by Dr. Amit Goswami, who I've interviewed about 7 times, I think. So, and a lot of people showed up for that one. So, I'm sure that your film would be have a lot of interest for that group. They're fairly evolved in this. They've been working on it a long time. So, and then we have the people who just come in for because they're interested. You know, they're just something piques their interest. So, anyway, so give us a do you have my email or you have the way to get to me through the emails that we've sent to you. So.
Absolutely. I would love to set that up. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Well, this is Dr. Susan Cobb. We have had the pleasure of interviewing Jonas Elrod, who is the star and the, I guess, the producer of Wake Up DVD. Is that what you, do you call yourself the producer since you own the company?
No, I'm actually the director.
You're the director. Okay, I'm sorry. I always get that wrong. Well, Jonas is the star and the director of Wake Up DVD, and it's really wonderful. It's unique. I think I've seen just about all the very interesting DVDs out there, and it's a unique story and one that I think is going to help a lot of people. Next week we have T.M.H. Atwater back again. Near Death Experiences: The Rest of the Story. I'm reading that book right now. It's absolutely amazing. On the 23rd, we have Dr. Charles Skillis, Defeat the Enemy Within, again about conquering your fears. And on the 30th, Michael Murphy is going to be back or with us again. He did Noetic Science on What in the World Are They Spraying on Chemtrails, which is a whole other topic. And the Noetic Science meeting, which will be on Thursday, July 21st at 7:15 at the Georgetown Square Dunwoody office, Dr. Jeffrey Commonore will be discussing 5 things to better your health, a workshop, which will include muscle testing, Qigong, Chinese alarm points for your organs, which I'm interested in, I've never heard of that, how to use energy to check your health, and how to fix health problems. It's a very different kind of workshop, and Jeffrey has worked with me personally. He's a DC ND and fellow in acupuncture, and he has a lot of information to share. Well, thank you very much, Jonas. We appreciate you giving us some time this morning, and
thank you.
Hope to see you here in Georgia. I know you come back sometime because your parents are still here. And
we'd love to come in. Thank you.
That'd be great. I'd love to meet you. Please join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.